Now, at the time of Jesus, there were many people going around the country preaching, even claiming to be the Messiah. When Jesus arrives on the scene, to many Jewish people, it seemed he was just another person preaching, someone who could be a charlatan, a trickster, a false prophet. What religious leaders wanted to know was, how would he prove that he was the genuine article? Now, the Bible has many examples through Jewish history of signs being worked. One of the earliest happened when Moses was being instructed by God to go and set the Israelites free from slavery in Egypt. That's in the book of Exodus, chapter 4. Moses, remember, was skeptical about being able to do this task. He didn't think the people would believe he'd been sent by God. So God demonstrated to him a sign. He said, put your rod down on the floor, and he did, and a snake became a snake. Pick it up again, became a stick. Then he had his hand, and he put his hand inside his jacket or whatever, and it became white with, we think, was leprosy. And then he took it out again. It was cured. Astonishing signs. God said those signs to Moses were that they might believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. So God did these signs so that they would believe that Moses was genuine. And if they didn't believe that he was genuine, even then, God told Moses, take water from the Nile, pour it on the ground, and it would return into blood. So the signs were done to convince Moses he was dealing with a really powerful God, the true God. Remember, Moses had drifted away from worshipping the true God. And then the other signs are there to convince other people who were believers in God or had apostatized or drifted away, so they would believe in the theophany, that vision of God that was being performed in front of them. Moses to be genuine. Further on, God tells Moses he'll multiply the signs and wonders in Egypt so that even the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. Remember, they had all their own pagan gods. You can see them scrawled over all over the insides of the pyramids and all that sort of thing. It's to convince the Egyptians that they're dealing with a powerful God. There are the prophets Elijah and the prophets Joel. They also have major signs. Signs didn't happen all the time. They only happened at certain significant points in the history of Israel. In the Acts of the Apostles, we hear about signs and wonders for the new Christians. The Holy Spirit descending on the apostles, and they all began to speak in tongues. Why? It was to prove to the people, the ordinary people, that the message of the apostles was genuinely from God. And so to today's gospel, exactly the same with Jesus performing signs and wonders. But he had a different audience. Remember, he was speaking to a great crowd and the Pharisees were there. There was a problem with the Pharisees. They wouldn't believe anything. They were really set their faces like flint against Jesus. When the Pharisees asked Jesus for a sign, Jesus' words sound very aggressive. This is a wicked generation. It's asking for a sign. The only sign that will be given is the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. So two questions. What was the sign of Jonah? And why was Jesus sounding so frustrated by those Pharisees? So, the sign of Jonah. Story of Jonah. I think we all know it, or we think we know it. God commands Jonah to travel to Nineveh, and that's the capital of Assyria. Assyria, problem. They are the main enemies, sworn enemies of the Israelites. Nineveh itself, its capital, a very wicked city. Not a good place for a devout Jew to go. Jonah defies God's instruction. In fact, he traveled in exactly the opposite direction towards Tarshish. The result, it doesn't go right. Well, what a surprise. Disobey God, doesn't go right. God sends a violent storm. The crew find out that Jonah, pagan crew, they find out that Jonah is running away from his God. They blame him for the disaster. They try their best to save the ship. Eventually, they throw Jonah overboard as a sacrifice, if you like, to his God. And immediately the storm subsides, a sign that is a powerful God. Meanwhile, Jonah, being thrown overboard, is desperate for God's forgiveness, prays for forgiveness for the wrong he's done in defying God. And in response, Jonah's saved. He gets swallowed by a whale. And he spends 3 days in the whale. Does that sound familiar? It's a sign to this generation. 3 days between the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection. When he emerged from the whale, Jonah was a changed man. He indeed went to Nineveh, and he preached to the wicked people there, told them they needed to repent of their sins by wearing sackcloth and sprinkling ashes over themselves. And Jonah was still a bit sceptical, very human. He didn't think it would work, rather like Moses didn't think anything would come of his mission to Egypt. In fact, Jonah was really disappointed when he realized the pagans were doing exactly what he preached and repenting. Isn't that annoying? He wanted to see them destroyed by God. He wanted vengeance. That's not our God. And now, the answer to my second question. Why was Jesus so frustrated with the Pharisees? Well, can you see the parallels between the story of Jonah and the Pharisees? Pharisees, very well-intentioned believers in God, just like Jonah. In fact, I would say to myself, Philip Rogerson, remember, you are a Pharisee. You believe and you go to church. Don't start getting high and mighty and inflicting rules on other people and judging them. We're in grave danger of this, so if you have ears, as Shakespeare says, listen. The Pharisees were desperately wanting to please God. They couldn't bring themselves to do as they were told. They made their own rules and regulations, did not go in the direction that God wanted them to go. And the Pharisees, as I say, would do everything they could to try and catch people out doing wrong, try and make sure they would be punished by God, like Jonah wanted. Like Jonah, they thought that they knew better than God. They were stubborn, judgmental, hypocrites. They refused to accept the signs worked by Jesus. Indeed, they rejected them. Some even suggested Jesus had these powers through the devil. That really is perverse and foolish. And no wonder Jesus got frustrated with them. In Jesus, they were being given a sign, but they wouldn't understand what that meant until after Jesus had been offered as a living sacrifice to God, a sign of new life, new creation, forgiveness, reaching out, God reaching out to all people, not just the chosen few, the Pharisees. The sign for the Pharisees from Jonah, from Jesus, was that God offers love and forgiveness to everyone, to all people of the world. If, like the people of Nineveh, they just bring themselves to listen to God's messengers, to do as they were told, turn away from sin and towards a new way of living. That's what Jesus wanted. So this week, look out for small signs and wonders from God. What God, the way God is leading you. We don't need prophets anymore. We've been baptized. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We can discern what's happening. When these little things happen, just ponder, why did that happen? What does that mean? Is God telling me something? Don't be like the Pharisees and ignore any nudges that you get from God. You may get a nudge from the word. You may get a nudge from prayers. You may get a nudge from anybody who says something to you. It's always worth just thinking, what's that about? Should I follow it up? Don't get angry when God sends you a message. Listen, discern. The key thing is, when you've decided through the Holy Spirit it's the right thing to do, go on and do it.